That's it. Keep your hand up till you've got what you need. Well, good evening. Good evening. It's great to see you this evening. And you're so welcome to be here. Is anyone here for the first time? No, we think we did that earlier. Anyone here for the first time? Guests, all that kind of stuff. We've got a few people around. Great. Can we welcome our guests? Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, you're so welcome to be here. Just before we get cracking on, I just wanted to honor a few people before we move on. Just wanted to honor our worship teams and our worship team this evening. They just do an amazing job every single week at serving us and serving the Lord. And just could we show appreciation to our worship teams. Amazing teams. Yeah. They do a phenomenal job every single week. And just one other person, Tom Sellin, who is probably someone who you may not know because he sits there where you can't always see him. Tom Sellin has been a student with us in this church for the last 4 years, 3 years, three years. And today is his last Sunday with us at Christ Church. He is an amazing man. And has grown so much with us over these last few years. But he's also served us really well with our tech teams, and he's literally passing on his skill right now to someone sat next to him, so we'll be in good hands. But I just wanted to show our appreciation to Tom. We love you, we'll really miss you, and Tom said to me on Tuesday he really doesn't like goodbyes, so make sure you go and say lots of goodbyes to him, make him cry and do all that kind of stuff. That'll be good. Okay, so if you're new or you've not been around for a while or you just need a bit of an update, we're in part three of a series which is a part of a wider year of teaching, which is called Bearing Fruit in Every Season. And the way we wanted to do this is to invite members of our church family to share stories about how they have been bearing fruit in every season of life. And we've had a whole range of different people. We had Derek and Sue come and talk about, transition and journey into a different location and place and what that's been like. Who was here last week for Chris and Esther's? Wasn't it just fantastic, just absolutely amazing time with Chris and Esther? And now we've got Rebecca and Julia, two of my very great friends. So we're going to have a chat, basically, and you're going to listen into a conversation. And one thing I wanted to remind you of before we ask them some questions is that one of the things we've been talking about quite a bit during the course of this year, and this is a reminder that fruit is the produce of the environment in which something is set. Okay? Fruit is the produce of something from an environment that is created. Okay, so Andrew talked a while back about the fact that orange trees don't try to grow orange trees. They just grow orange trees. They grow oranges because they're set in an environment in which their fruit is made possible. And so when we're talking about bearing fruit in every season, in all of the examples, in all the testimonies, in all the stories, the fruit's important, but it's more about the principles and it's more about the environment in which these people have set themselves in order for the fruit to be possible. Does that make sense? Yeah, hopefully. All right. So, hello. So the title for this week is Thriving in Pursuit. And if you've got a piece of paper, you'll hopefully see that title on your piece of paper. Thriving in Pursuit. And my first question for you really is, what does that mean? And what is thriving in pursuit all about from your guys' perspective?
Thriving in pursuit. It felt like it was quite important to set the context of parts of our story tonight in the correct kind of time frame, and pursuit isn't we've reached X, Y, and Z. It's the chasing. It's the we're going after something, and so we're going to be talking. It's actually we were talking the other day. It's probably for both of us about a story about the past year, so it's quite a limited bit of time, and it feels like we're right in the middle of pursuing some things. So, Julia, do you want to talk about what you're pursuing first?
Yeah, am I on? Hello, hey. So we thought it would be good just to sort of share a little bit about, just give you a snapshot of what we're talking about when we're saying our journey. For me, the journey started summer, autumn last year, 2017, where I just began to notice God inviting me into a conversation around worship and worship leading and all the creative aspects that encompasses. I very much at the time just thought that was a conversation that he wanted to have with me, that it was going to be a sort of him just blessing me with his wisdom and teaching me in his kindness around those things, and that I'd just grow from that. But shortly after coming into the new year, so that threshold between 2017 and 2018, God gave me an incredibly clear and precise charge for the coming year, for 2018 and beyond, to grow in worship, what it is, why we do it, why it's good for us, why it's good for God, and worship leading as well. I'd never had such a clear instruction from him, and it caught me a little bit off guard at the beginning of this year. And now we're in June, so I'm 6 months into, I guess, working out what that charge looks like in my life practically, and growing from what he asked me to learn around worship and worship leading, and specifically creativity in worship and worship leading. And I guess flowing on from that, we wanted to say a little thing about this whole idea of pursuit before we sort of dive into the depths of our journeys. Dive in. I think it's really easy when we're in a series about bearing fruit in every season to focus our energy on learning how to bear fruit in seasons of trial and hardship. And that's great, that's logical. It's hard to bear fruit in those seasons. And so it's really good to focus on learning how to do that well. But for the majority of us, for the majority of the time, we're not going to be in a valley. We're not going to be on a mountaintop. We're going to be somewhere in between those two places. We're going to be somewhere fairly normal and fairly, for want of a better word, I guess, average in our seasons. And certainly Rebecca and I have, this whole concept of pursuit for us has really been discovering how to go after God in those normal times, those times where we could very easily just sit passively and let life just tick over, and begin to treat God as a bit of a grandparent that we maybe call and check in with every now and again if we remember to, and invite them into like a bit of our lives, but not all of our lives. I actually might just read the beginning of this. This puts it better than I can put it. One of the greatest things we can cultivate is a relationship with the Holy Spirit in every part of life. The writings in this book, it's a creative book, were inspired by moments when we encountered the Lord in the middle of our ordinary, mundane tasks and schedules. We make beautiful discoveries when we dare to believe He desires to speak through these simple moments of everyday life. We make beautiful discoveries when we dare to believe He desires to speak through these simple moments of everyday life. And I think for Rebecca and I, it's been a journey of that, just daring to believe that He's speaking to us in normality, in the average moments of life, and deciding to obey and pursue what He's saying when we hear Him do that.
Could I just jump in at that stage and ask then, And I know you've got something else to say about about the first question, but I just want to drop another one in there, which is how practically does that look for you in your normal, average, everyday lives? And how do you do that? How do you pursue the voice of God in normality? You know what I mean? So just drop that in there. If you want to go back to the first question, that's okay.
A big thing for me has been chronicling, so recording, journaling, writing, and in particular, a purpose behind that in recording when he has spoken to me in the past, so that I can go back to it and remember how he spoke in that moment, whether it was through someone else, whether it was through scripture, whether it was through creation. And just recording those moments so that I kind of train my eyes and my ears to hear him when he does it again. Even if it's slightly different, I can recognize his voice better. We talk about it being like a muscle, don't we? Like trying to train our spiritual ears and eyes to hear him and recognize him. So that's a practical way for me.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I find really helpful is, or have found really helpful in this season, for want of a better word, is knowing what I'm about and knowing what I'm pursuing practically. So I've got a little scenario running around my head. Apologies for animal lovers, because I know there are definitely some veterinary students and others of you, I'm sure. Fox hunting, controversial topic. But you have a fox, you know, that's the idea, somewhere out there. And you have hounds. As far as I'm aware, I haven't been fox hunting. but the hounds are sent out to start running. And I feel like life's a bit like that. They, you know, we're all kind of running a race, the Bible says. It's how it describes it. We're walking a journey. We're running a race, however you want to put it. We're going from A to B. And at certain points in our life, it's like we catch a scent. And, I think the backdrop for me with practically knowing what that is partly knowing who I am. And it's very easy, and for me, and I've done this in life, but to fill my diary with really good things, but sometimes aren't things that are fully who I am. So my story is about creativity, but it's about reflecting on writing and creative writing. And one of the things I always get asked, so I'll fill you in, when people ask, what are you writing? So I'll let you know what I'm writing. I'm trying to write a fantasy fiction novel, teen fiction. So kind of think Narnia, Lord of the Rings. Not going to put myself up there too high with the grades. But, you know, no. Those are, you know, yeah, well, those are the ones you'll all know anyway. So that's what I'm writing. That's what I'm pursuing. But if you like, taking this analogy one step further, I knew I was a hound from very early on. Mm-hmm. So I wrote stories. I went up to my bedroom and I'd write stories from really small, and I would from a really young age. And I studied English, and the reason I studied English and did creative writing modules and creative writing dissertation was purely for the fact that I loved it. I'd always get asked, you're doing English, are you going to be a teacher then? And I was like, no. I just love English. I love writing. I love stories. I love words. And then coming out, I've kind of continued to do creative writing books and courses. And so I always knew that I was a hound. And then this year, I felt like God gave me a scent to follow specifically with it. Kind of called me up a bit. Mm. That answer?
Yeah, I think that's really, really, really helpful, because I think it's often easy to ignore the things that we're naturally good at, because we're waiting for the lightning bolt from heaven to come from about what, you know, destiny or what we're called to or whatever it is, what we're supposed to pursue. And it's really easy to ignore actually the things that are right in front of us. And I think a lot of what Rebecca shared there is like, I notice things about my life all the way through that have helped me get to this to this point. I can say, like, having young kids at the moment, watching them grow up, there are natural things that I can see in them that I know are going to begin to play out across the course of their life, because they're just ingrained in them. It's part of God's destiny in them. So I guess part of my encouragement in terms of that for you, for everyone, is like, don't ignore the things that you're really good at. Don't ignore the things that are natural to you, because God is using them, will use them, wants to use them. Yeah, does that make sense? Did you want to say any more about your own personal pursuit? She would love
That's
to.
That's why I'm here. So Catching the Scent. So these books that we've actually both got, ironically,
could you hold one up?
Cultivate. They're beautiful books, but it's a creative devotional. So they have things called prompts at the end and kind of encourage you to creatively seek God in different ways, and for all forms of art. And the beginning of the volume that I'm reading started with this beautiful devotional about everybody's creative. And so I guess this is a buzzword for everybody here. It's easy to hear that. I think people can easily rule themselves out of being creative because they don't paint, basically. Yep. Cool. And you hear people say that in school. Oh, I'm just not creative. Mm. Actually, the truth is we're all creative. Being a businessman and finding an innovative solution to a problem is creative, because the solution wasn't there and you've created something from nothing.
Brilliant.
Learning languages is creative, the way that the words move and sound in your mouth. You know, we can go on. So we're all creative here. We're all made in the image of God, and he is the creator, so he inspires our creativity. The first devotional was actually about kind of shifting that analogy, and it was saying we're all creative, we're just not all artists. Mm. And I actually felt a real call up on that, because I felt God say, Rebecca, you haven't struggled seeing yourself as creative. You've known you're creative, but you need to start recognizing yourself as an artist. Mm. And that means the pursuit of excellence in a specific art form. So we're all creative, but I suddenly felt this shift where he was saying, I'm calling you to be an artist. That doesn't mean I am going to become the next C.S. Lewis. Please, Jesus. but, wouldn't say no. But, he was kind of saying, you've known you're creative, you've known you've loved writing all your life. When are you actually going to give it a go? Mm. So, you know, part of me working part-time is volunteering here part-time, but I also write part-time. Mm. And that's been a whole other personal journey, honouring that, because it hasn't felt valid. I felt like I'm wasting my time, I'm not earning any money. Is it ever going to go anywhere? Is it ever going to be good enough? When God's calling you to something, does it matter? It didn't feel like it was as good as meeting up with people for one-to-ones or doing a breakfast run, but it felt like that's what God was calling me to. Mm. So that was my shift, my scent.
Can we just take note of that? Everyone is creative. Not everyone is necessarily an artist. I think that's massively important. Like, take a moment just to reflect on where you sit in that idea that you may have said to yourself a lot in your life, I'm not creative. I'm not a creative person. Maybe just take that phrase away and ponder that, and ponder the fact that you are creative, because you were designed and made by a creative God. That's really good. Okay, so you both got this. You're both following a scent. Hopefully a good one. Yeah, that's good. I know there are a couple of specific things that you want to go after with regards to, I guess, how you're pursuing it, and things that God is teaching you in that. Do you want to go after those couple of things for a bit, and then we'll see where we land? Yeah.
A big word for both of us in all of this is obedience. Learning obedience and how to obey God when he calls us and gives us instructions, no matter how small or how big those asks are. giving him our yes every time, because we know that he has our best interests at heart. For me, I've loved seeing how over the course of my journey, the tiniest bits of obedience have begotten more obedience, if that makes sense. So, and it sounds so simple in many ways, but it's been a real lesson. At the start, when he was just inviting me into that conversation, just into that what felt like quite a casual conversation, it was very easy to say yes to. It was a little yes. It was a hey, yeah, I love worship. I love music. Yeah, I'll talk to you about worship. I'll talk to you about music and creativity. That's great. Easy yes. I'm in. And then slowly, as the journey has gone on, because I was willing to be obedient to those little yeses, he honored that obedience with just asking me ever so slightly bigger things and ever so slightly bigger things. By the time it came to New Year, when he gave me that very clear charge, that was a big yes for me. It was intimidating and scary to receive that kind of clear instruction from the Almighty God. Like that was scary, and it was a bigger yes that I had to work up the courage to give him. And still now, 6 months on, there are bigger yeses still coming into this journey. And there's just this beautiful sort of direction that we move in once we are willing to give him those little tiny, tiny yeses at the start. And he just keeps growing them and just testing our obedience in his kindness. I think that's all I'll say on that.
Anything for you?
Anything for me? I think it's probably the word in my head is procrastination. And I wouldn't want to disobey God, but actually when I got home from a day at work or in, you know, middle of the day, 2:33-ish, and I was supposed to be having writing time, suddenly I had 100 things to do. And I managed to do them all, and then, you know, I might do a bit of writing at the end. And I was using this book called The Artist's Way, which is kind of a creative course, if you like. And its challenge was, are you procrastinating? I was like, oh gosh, yes, I am, for half an hour. Why are you procrastinating? And practically, I realized that part of it was deeper things, so fear and a fear of failure. If I actually give my all to something, what happens if I fail?
Yeah.
I don't even know what failing means, because I don't have a set, goal that I'm working towards. But I could fail because I'm actually trying this. Again, what's the point? So those kind of voices. So it's actually more, I think, although it worked out practically, it was a bit more of a mind game, that I knew I was to pursue something and I wanted to, but I wasn't fully trusting myself or trusting quite what God was saying enough to not procrastinate for half an hour beforehand to try and get out the nerves of actually starting.
That's really good. I heard someone say once that it's much harder to say no to something when you don't know what your yes is. And I would imagine one of the challenges of pursuing what you think God is asking you to do is knowing what you say no to in order to pursue what God is asking you to do. How do you navigate, you talk about giving your yes to God a lot, how do you navigate all the yeses that you give to God whilst then presumably having to say no to stuff as well? How do you both navigate saying no to stuff?
Sure. Again, the word that comes to mind is guilt, and feeling guilty and feeling like I'm letting people down, because essentially I was starting to try and put time into something which meant that time from seeing friends or helping people was, I had less time. And again, it was an internal thing of feeling guilty and feeling like I wasn't enough and wasn't doing enough to help other people. How I worked through that, I think, again, it's trying to realize that God's word is the most important, and loving people as best as you can when you do let them down, because our expectations sometimes mismatch other people's, but staying true to God's word despite that, which isn't easy, it's quite hard.
Yeah, I think I would totally agree with that, and I'd also talk about priorities, the practical example from my journey is when God started calling me to this very specific charge at the beginning of the year, and a little ways before that as well, a few months before that, I was still serving on the youth team at that time, and also serving in the worship team at Christchurch, and I just began to have a sense that he was asking me to prioritize. To prioritize worship and worship leading and the worship ministry of this church, and that broke my heart, because it meant saying no to youth ministry, and taking a step back from that and letting others step up into that. But I felt a great sense of peace doing that, because I knew where the life was, and I knew where the joy was, and I knew where the grace of God in my life was at that time, and that was to prioritize worship and worship leading, and to take a step back from youth ministry. So that's just a practical example of that.
That's helpful. So not being burdened by guilt in the process of saying no to stuff, but also learning to prioritize what God is doing and making decisions based on the priorities is really, really, really helpful. As we begin to draw things in a little bit, how would you practically give advice to people on pursuing the things that God is saying to them? What things would you just, if there were headline things that are going on for you? And it's important to say you're in the middle of it, so it's not like a fully concluded story for you, but what would you say to people?
She's sure. Okay. For me, the big thing that I'm learning at the moment is, and I've been reminded of a week ago, was about rest and the importance of God's rest. And it sounds ironic, because we're talking about pursuing something which sounds quite active and intense. And yet God reminded me that it has to start from a place of his rest. It was from one of the devotionals in this book, but I was sitting at my in-laws reading it, and it was talking about there's a quote actually on your little cards, but it's talking about the rat race of our performance-driven culture, which says that we live for the weekends. Does everyone know that phrase? Live for the weekends. It's like work hard, play hard type thing, but, you know, work really hard and then have a holiday and collapse. Work really hard, get your weekend, and then collapse. And the Bible narrative is completely different. And in this devotional, it touches on three times in the Bible. It touches on Eden. So God had worked, but man was born into the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Man was born into rest. And from that place of rest, they were charged to go and steward the earth. It talks about Jesus before he starts his official ministry. But at his baptism, the dove descended on him and said, "You're my son with whom I'm well pleased." It's a place of he's blessed before he's sent out. And then again, at the end of John's gospel, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and it's kind of the last time they see him after he's been raised from the dead. And he's just about to send Peter out and say, "Go and feed my sheep." And before he does that, he feeds them breakfast. And it's this kind of, before we are sent out, we need to be restored. And I realized that I'd started slipping into a pattern of writing because I knew I needed to write. But it almost became a priority over enjoying the creator first before I created. So there's this, and again, I've written it down, but there's a prompt, which is one of these creative activities, and it said, spend time in creation. Spend time taking your shoes off, walking in creation, spending time with the creator, and then go and be creative. I felt a little bit self-conscious walking around my in-laws' garden. They were kind of nearby, and I was kind of taking my shoes off, and in my head, it's silly, but I was going to tell them I was looking for a newt in their pond. But I was. I don't, you know, that would have been a lie, so that's silly. But that was going to be my excuse.
Well done.
I had seen one there a couple of months ago, so it's very exciting. They're quite rare, so special breed newts. But I then went back and I, probably for the first time in a few weeks, genuinely wanted to write and genuinely felt inspired. I had less time to write because I'd spent time with God, so it feels counterintuitive, but I was far more productive creatively because I'd spent time with the Creator.
Yeah, that's good.
So rest was really important for me.
Really good.
Yeah, following on from that, I would say from that place of rest, the word that has been, another word that's been important for me is receptivity. So being open to hear from him in those times and receiving from him. We love because he first loved us and we create because he is the ultimate creator. So receiving from him and while we were sort of thinking about what we were going to say tonight, I was drawn to Isaiah 55, where it says that the word of the Lord never returns to him void or empty. It always accomplishes its purposes before returning to him. And this sense just came over me. That means that if the word of the Lord comes to earth and it finds a person who is not open to receive his word, who is not open to act or respond to what they hear, it will carry on until it finds someone who will. And I always want to be a person who, when the word of the Lord comes to me, I hear it and I recognize it and I respond to it and I obey it. I never want it to pass me by and go on elsewhere. So just that receptivity and that open-handedness to hear him and to respond when we do.
Brilliant. There's just golden nuggets in amongst it all on pursuing God and what it means to pursue God and how to make decisions in pursuing God in your life, regardless of your state as an artist or not. Whatever you do, there is some incredible wisdom there on what it means to pursue God in life. And how to make decisions based on the voice of God in your life. And at Christ Church, we value that so highly. And we, as a team, we make decisions. We only want to make decisions based on what God is saying. And we're learning that. It's a journey, isn't it? We learn it. But I know there's a sense in terms of praying tonight. There's a couple of senses that you guys had in terms of how we want to pray now as we land the interview. Do you want to mention those things, or would you like me to do? You do it. Yeah, you do it. You do it.
One of the senses is going right back to the start of what we shared around pursuing God or choosing to pursue God in the normalness of life, and those sort of those. If you feel like you're in one of those times and one of those seasons that is just normal, not in a good way, not in a bad way necessarily, just normal, and you really feel that nudge to actually choose to not be passive but be proactive and really start pursuing him and what he might be saying to you in the ordinary mundane schedules of life.
Yeah, really helpful.
And the other one is for anybody when we've been speaking who perhaps does feel that specific call to being an artist in whatever form it takes. But that's quite an important step. So if anybody wants to pray about that or feels there's something inside them about that, then I would love to pray for you.
Yeah, brilliant. I would add into that anyone who struggles with the fear of failure, and that would be a really good thing to pray for this evening. if that's you, we'd love to pray for you, because what Rebecca said about that was it's when you give your all to something, what happens if that question of what happens if I give everything and it doesn't work out, it can be really scary. So it'd be good to pray for that. So as the worship team, why don't you jump back up? As the worship team come back, and as we head back into some worship, and as we head into some praying ministry, we'd love to pray for anyone for whom, I guess it not necessarily struggles, but maybe it's about desire. You desire to pursue God in the everyday normalness of your life, but passivity is like a block to you. You just find yourself more in a passive state than a proactive state, and we'd love to pray for you on that. We want to pray for anyone who for you, there's a stirring for you not just to be a creative person, but to be an artist. And that's not, we don't just mean painting artists there. I think we mean like the breadth of that level up from just being creative, like to be an artist. And then anyone who we can pray for regarding fear of failure, we'd love to do that as well. Okay, does that make sense? All right, why don't we stand? And then I'd love to ask our ministry team to be available to my left, your right. If you are on a ministry team, could you move now? Rebecca and Julia will also move that way. Brilliant, thank you.